This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Michael K is on the radio today, and he ain't afraid to say what he's thinking.
It's the Michael K Show.
Michael K is on the radio today. Turn it up, it's time to get on with the show. On 98.7 ESPN Radio.
And a good afternoon, everybody. This is indeed the Michael K Show. We thank you for joining us on this Thursday. It's April 4th. It's 2024. You know, a couple of hours ago, you'd say, well, this is going to be a real fun show, positive. Don and Peter are in Philadelphia for the WWE. We're going to have some wrestling guests. The Yankees come home 6-1. The Mets are 3-3 now in the bottom of the 10th inning. But all of that kind of got washed away because we found out that Julius Randle's out for the remainder of the year. They say the shoulder is not stable enough to withstand any contact, and it could make it worse and really make it a terrible, terrible injury. It's pretty bad the way it is right now. So he's going to have surgery. He should be ready by the start of next season. But guys, we didn't even talk about this because we wanted it to be fresh when we came on the air. That's it. The dream is over. I mean, I think it would be phenomenal the way the team is right now, even to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. But if you wanted to dream about them beating the Celtics, if you wanted to dream about them going to the NBA Finals, that dream is over. There's too much heavy lifting for Jalen Brunson. There's just too much for a 6-foot guard to have to carry the weight of the entire team like that. And we don't even know if OG Anunoby is going to come back. I just don't think he could do that through two playoff series to get them to the Eastern Conference Finals. So it's another case of New York not being able to have nice things. It's really sad. It really is.
Right. It's Peter's comment coming to roost again, that there's a injury jinx with these New York teams. OG not coming back, I don't even know you get out of the first round. I mean, honestly, the way that they've had to work, and they've got a 3-game losing streak now, if they were to lose tonight to Sacramento, I think now you're just battling to stay out of the play-in. So expectations have to be changed. Now, I don't know how realistic it was that they were going to win the championship even with a healthy Randle, but I guess it was on the table, especially the way they were playing lights out after the trade. But this just not only takes that off the table, without even a healthy Anunoby, can you even feel confident this team's going to make it out of the first round, no matter who they play?
No, I mean, that's the thing, is now the first round becomes a very interesting series, no matter who they play. Every game, I mean, listen, this is, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, because I am the guy. Let me say this. I don't think today's that big of a news story. I didn't think he was coming
back. We saw
this
coming.
It was over. I know, it's great. It's something exciting that it's official. I never thought Julius Randle was coming back. To me, the huge story now is what happens with OG Anunoby.
Yeah.
That is the story of this basketball team, because with OG, I think we all believe a lot could still be on the table. Like, there's a chance they could try to battle, at least make a conference final and compete. But, Michael, yeah, there's no chance at this point that you go all the way without Julius Randle. I hope nothing more than the three of us end up in some video at the end of the season showing the doubters, because we said this, but I'm sorry, on paper, Julius is you are severely underrating Julius Randle if you think they can win a championship without him at this point.
You know, it's almost as if all the Knicks fans that completely disparage Julius Randle all the time, now the basketball gods are saying, oh yeah, he's not that good? Well, let's see how important he is. And I don't blame Randle for trying to rehab it. I don't blame him at all, because even if he had gotten the surgery when the injury occurred, he still would have missed the entire season anyway. Now you're pushing up the beginning of next season, but he will be back. You just worry that it doesn't have a lasting effect, because I've heard from people that have had this injury that it does reoccur. Awful. It happened on a freak play, and it essentially killed the Knicks' chances, because think about what they were when everybody was healthy in January. They were unbeatable. They're as good as any team in the NBA. And now the dream is over. It's over.
But with a healthy OG, I think they still can be a team that's a threat. They were playing very good basketball until recently, even without Randall. So I think second round and being competitive in the second round and the right matchup in the second round, I still want to keep the dream alive of a conference final without Randall. Is that too much to ask, Michael? Is that just a crazy thought that if everything comes together with a healthy OG and obviously a very healthy Brunson and everything comes together, that they can maybe make it to the third round?
I think it'd be really difficult. I'm just being honest and trying to be as frank as I can. I agree with Peter. If OG doesn't come back, they might not get out of the first round. And then, I mean, if they keep losing and then drop into a play-in, they might not get into the first round. We have no idea. OG gives them a chance in any series. But I just think that when a team can game plan on a game-to-game basis on Brunson and really wear him down, I think it's tough for the Knicks to win. It just is. He is their scoring option. They have DiVincenzo, who can hit from three. Josh Hart is a weapon, although he might miss tonight's game with a bad wrist. I mean, injuries have killed this team because they had built a really, really fun, dangerous team in any short series, and now not so much.
Now, I have to feel like, not right away, but this is news to us. I don't believe it was news to the Knicks. Do you?
I agree with you.
I think that they've known for a little while that this was going to happen. It was just a matter of when they were going to announce it. I think they've been moving forward a couple of weeks realizing he wasn't coming back.
Well, I mean, the story today is that he's gone to several different specialists. So, I mean, he's been told you've got to get the surgery or you're really, really going to get much, much more injured than you are right now. So he wanted to exhaust every possibility. I give him credit for trying. He rehabbed.
Yes.
But as he's rehabbing and he's getting all this bad news, you can believe that the Knicks are getting the bad news too. So, yeah, right. You're right, Don. They've known.
Yeah.
Not much you can do about it.
Right. So it's not like they're going to be downtrodden. I think they were all, but they were kind of even hinting about it in some of the quotes after games that this was a possibility. So now you move forward, and now you went from when are we getting Randall and Ananobi back to now it's just down to Ananobi, and then we'll see everything else. But you're seeing how this team, with this three-game losing streak, and that's why I think tonight is huge, because then if it becomes four in a row, Michael, it starts to spiral out of control, and then it becomes, well, now has they exerted themselves to the point where they aren't capable of moving forward. Tonight is a huge game.
I'm going to be a little bit of a Debbie Downer because there's another layer to this that is concerning. If the Knicks do see a great player, the Batman to Brunson's Robin that's available, like a Karl Anthony Towns. So, name any number of players that you might want to name. Well, in order to make things fit, Randall will probably have to be part of the deal. Now, is Randall an attractive trade piece for any team replacing a player like a Karl Anthony Towns? Because you don't know if he's going to be 100%. You hope that he's going to be 100%, and there's always a possibility of re-injury if you hit the same spot. So you've taken one of your big trade chips, and I'm not saying they should have traded him, but you've taken one of your big trade chips in terms of talent and in terms of money that matches up with other big money, and now you've put that into question. So it's kind of a big deal. This is not a great day for the Knicks. I'm sorry, it's just not. And I'm not looking to be negative.
Because the speculation before it all kind of came together, where it looked like maybe they don't need a Batman because they might already have it in Brunson, the feeling was the deal would probably come in the offseason. Well, I'm not making a deal for Randall until I see him play.
Right.
He's going to be coming off of surgery, so now you probably can't make that deal until you go a couple of months into next season, see that he's balling and he can play, and then maybe you don't even want to make the deal because he's playing well. I'm with you, Michael. I don't know how much of an appetite they had to make that kind of a move, but if they did, it can't be on the table now. If I'm a general manager, how can I make a deal for damaged goods like that? I need to see him play. I need to know he's okay, that he's back to himself before I'm making a deal like that, especially trading a piece like a Karl Anthony Towns or the kind of star that they're going to be looking for.
No, it is very frustrating to think about what a quandary this creates on the Randall and Anunoby front. It is... Things were so good, and again, I really don't want to be of the mindset of giving up on this thing, because I think we'll hear from Knicks fans today who will still be passionate and excited that this team could do damage as long as they get OG back. I think what we've seen over the last three games, and obviously tonight's a big deal, But what we've seen over the last three games, Michael, is they've sort of done as much as they could do, just wearing out Jalen Brunson, you know, hoping that he puts up 61, which, of course, wasn't enough against the Spurs. It's just too much. You can only do so much. But if they get that piece back in time for the playoffs, I still like this team to be a really fun, competitive team in the playoffs.
All right, the Mets just left runners on first and second, bottom of the 10th, so they go to the 11th inning of a 3-3 game, a game that they were leading 3-0, so they gave it back, and it's 3-3, still looking for their first win. It's turned into actually not bad of a day at Citi Field, so we're keeping an eye on that. The Yankees come home. They're off today. They come home at 6-1 after a thrilling victory in extra innings, and you can't just sniff at 6-1 because the quality of teams that they played are excellent. You know, the ALCS runner-up, the Astros, they took four in a row. The National League champion, Arizona Diamondbacks, they took two of three. Was it perfect? No, because the starting pitching still gives you some concern. And you know, the funny part is they took two out of three in Arizona, and Juan Soto didn't have a great three games. He did not have a great three games, but somebody did wake up. A couple of guys woke up yesterday. Aaron Judge with a home run and a double. Verdugo with that long home run in the 10th inning. And the Yankee bullpen continues to just be amazing. So 6-1 is something to hang your hat on. They're off today. And Marcus Stroman will start tomorrow, the home opener at the stadium.
Yeah. You know, Peter and I talked about, we're not concerned about Judge, but it was kind of eye-opening. He was batting 125 with one RBI.
Also, Don, the fewest hits, three hits in six games, the fewest hits he'd ever gotten in the first six games of a season.
Yeah. And listen, you'd know way better than me, Michael, but you weren't on. I speculated that if he had been playing well, yesterday might have been a day off for him. Because they love the whole back-to-back at the 2 days off going in because they hadn't had any days off on the road. But I think they wanted to keep him in there to try to get going. Or would you think that was possible? Or you thought he was going to play anyway?
It's funny because I was talking with David Cohn before the game, and he said I thought they might rest, just what you said, Judge, to give him 2 days off in a row. And I said, no, he needs at bats, and I think you're dead on. He needs at bats because he missed so many at bats in spring training when he had the abdominal issue. So they're waiting for him to click with timing. He needed to be in the lineup. And I also and I said this the other day. I don't know if you guys realize it either. Boone's managing with a little more urgency than he ever has in the past. You know, like the Sunday in Houston, that's usually a day that he would just run out a B lineup because you have the first three games. He ran out his A lineup. Yeah. Yesterday, he ran out his A lineup after a night game that they lost. He used all of his quality relievers, one after the other after the other. He's looking at each game as, you know what, we got to get as many wins as we can. There's a different urgency to it. I kind of like it because it's not all about, okay, I've got to face this guy. I've got to rest this guy. This is the day I sit down this guy. I think he's going day to day to see exactly what the feel is, and I think that's important.
I'm surprised you didn't pick up on it. Peter texted you during the game, Michael. He was doing like his best Torrey yesterday.
Yeah,
Peter
did it, and I didn't. When I got a look, I didn't agree. He wears sunglasses a lot.
No, but it was the hat.
The hat was sitting lightly on the top of his
head. Yeah. Oh, it was a thing. I thought it was a thing.
I'm going to ask him. I'm asking Boone.
Why don't you do that?
Or did you look?
I did after he texted me. I didn't see it before. I didn't notice it.
I couldn't.
But after he texted me, I took a look. You know what else I took a look at?
Huh?
Well, what was that Ranger Devil thing yesterday, Don? What's going on?
What do you mean, what's going on? Was it
just a bacchanal every day? Let's fight? I don't mind it. I think it's entertaining, but I mean,
but you knew
because they injured a player.
This is the first time Rempe had a chance to play the Devils after the incident with Siegenthaler.
Right.
And McDermott wanted to fight Rempe right after the incident had taken place, but the officials got in between. Rempe got kicked out of the game, and so they escorted him off the ice. And if you remember, he kind of waved to McDermott going off the ice. So you knew that as long as McDermott was healthy, which was a problem, he had a lower body injury, but he was available to play, that they were going to fight. It was just going to happen. Now, when I saw the starting lineup, which came in moments before they dropped the puck, and I see that they're both on the ice, I'm saying, all right, what's going to happen right away? I didn't think that they were going to have a line brawl, but you had to know this was going to happen because the Devils didn't feel like they got their pound of flesh.
Now here's my question to you, though. Is this good or bad for hockey?
I don't see anybody complaining about it, right? It doesn't happen that often.
It seems like it's happened a lot with Rempe.
The fans were entertained by it. Rempe had to stand up for himself after what happened, be held accountable for what had taken place, and then it's over. You go on, you play a hockey game. I don't think Peter was enamored with the fact that eight guys got kicked out of the game. He loses Trouba and Miller 2 seconds into the game, and the two defensemen that the Devils lost were Ball and Marino. That's not a fair trade. I don't think he was anticipating that was going to happen. But he didn't have to put Rempe out there. The Rangers, being the home team, have the ability to answer whatever the Devils come out. Devils had to give the card first. So he felt like, all right, let's get it over with. Let's get him out there. And they did. They had the line brawl. The guys got kicked out. Rangers still won the game. But when you say, is it good for hockey, I just think that whether it's good or bad for hockey, it's the outlet. It's part of the culture. The Devils felt like they were wronged, and they never got a chance to answer. And they felt like Rempe was never held accountable outside of the suspension that he was given for it. And they got their redemption. It's similar to what happened with McNeil and Hoskins. If fighting was a part of the culture of baseball, Michael, Hoskins would have to answer to what he did. Because McNeil felt like he was wronged. And in baseball, the way you answer is throwing a projectile at a guy at 90 miles an hour. Isn't that kind of the same thing? Matter of fact, you can make the case that that's even more dangerous.
Oh, I think that's terrible.
Right. So, but it exists in sports, right, where you want to police the game, and it happened. Now, would that have happened in a playoff series? Most likely not. But in that particular moment, it was the right answer to what had taken place back on February 22nd. Now, is it good for the game? I mean, the fans seem to love it. It makes Rempe even more of a god. Nobody got seriously hurt, you know, so I find it interesting that hockey is the one that's always left like, oh, look how disgusting that is, that these guys are brawling with each other, and you know how Neanderthal it is. Well, really, it kind of happens in baseball too, except you don't get to answer it, and sometimes it boils over, and you end up having bench clearing brawls, and nothing ever happens. And then 2 months later, somebody True. Gets plunked in the head, and
it's a great Don. It's an underrated point, because while it does seem barbaric that it's like sort of a part of the game that's accepted, it does allow for this important piece to happen with some level of organization. Yeah. It's not completely the Wild West, which is baseball, which they cannot make up their minds about what it's supposed to be.
And I'll ask you, Michael, you know, do the fans like it? Well, what
I
was the highlight of the 96 season for the New York Yankees?
When
the brawl between
yeah.
Baltimore. Yeah, and how Darryl Strawberry chased Benitez into the dugout. Like that, people, I think fans kind of just like players standing up for themselves, and when somebody's wrong, that the wrong is righted in some way. Now, it's ingrained in the culture of the sport for 100 years that there's legalized fighting. Isn't that better than a guy wanting to get his revenge by clubbing another guy over the head with a stick or gouging his eye out with the edge of his blade?
I'd like to see that.
I think it's actually organized chaos that stops worse things from happening. And I think if other sports had that similar outlet, that maybe you wouldn't see some of the things that actually happen in other sports. So it's over now. They're not going to play each other the rest of the season. Devils aren't going to make the playoffs. Rangers won the game. So it's now over.
Mets are trailing 4-3 in the 11th. Tigers have runners on second and third with two outs. All right, you guys are in Philadelphia at WWE
right.
World. Set the stage there, Peter, before we get to phone calls. Tell me what right. it's like. What are we doing here?
Well, real quick, it's picture like picture the Super Bowl, picture Comic-Con. It's hard to describe.
Well, the way I described it is, Michael, we've gone to Super Bowls, right? And we've gone to the NFL experience.
Yes.
It's the NFL experience on steroids.
Yeah. They like right now, if you hear music in the background, people are able to do their favorite WWE superstars entrances. Just a little while ago, Cody Rhodes was on the main stage. I want everybody to know, it has been said that apparently, Michael, the final boss is going to be in this building today.
And a stone's throw from
like
where
a stone's throw away. So I'm literally trying everything I can to see if we can get the final boss to stop by and say hello. You know how I feel about
Oh, Peter's cutting in and out. Something's going on. Don's not, but Peter is, and I don't like it.
He wants to give a shout-out to Yes, because in almost like a NASCAR pit stop,
Yes,
they've been able to put together, while we've been talking, the set. Because apparently somebody didn't come through. We were supposed to have 15 minutes to set up. We were given zero. I was going to drop an elbow on Rey Mysterio.
No, it almost came to Don fighting Rey Mysterio.
Well, my brother's here, and my brother's got the pink robe, and he's all Cody Rhodes'd out and everything. And I said to him, maybe I should. My brother's like, you should go do something about them not getting off the stage. And I said, no, well, maybe I'll just jump on the stage and I'll throw an elbow right into the face of Rey Mysterio, drop him with a pile driver. My brother's like, no, why don't you just talk to the producer?
No. You know that's from.
Well, Peter's got to you got to cut Peter's mic off. He keeps cutting it out. Something's going wrong.
Oh, well, he stole it from where, Peter?
You stole it from Wayne's World.
No, but that's what he said to me. He stole it from Wayne's World.
But it's the Ed O'Neill joke.
I feel like he's filing a grievance with the union. My brother's all decked out in his pink robe, and he's walking around like he's Elvis here. It is really cool. And I got to tell you, I went and bought merch for the kids. I wasn't gouged. The prices were actually pretty good.
Oh, that's beautiful. That is beautiful.
Well, I spent, I don't know. I got a couple of items. I spent like $76. It's not bad.
Not bad at all.
You know how expensive things are.
Things are expensive. Anyway, we'll take some phone calls. They'll work out whatever, technical difficulties they're having there. We'll probably have a WWE guest at 3:30.
So we sure do. It's The Miz.
Oh, The Miz. There you go. So let's take some phone calls. Let's go to Mark in Charlotte. Mark, why don't you start it off?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Couple quick points. First off, obviously, Julius Randle being out rest of the year hurts. Can't say we didn't see it coming, but I kind of think the Knicks have gotten used to playing without him and actually been playing pretty well without him. I mean, obviously, you're missing your 26 points a game and 8-plus rebounds, but, his turnover issues, double-teaming, can't get out of the double-team, can't find the open man. But I think, obviously, OG is key. Need him back. Need everyone to stay healthy the rest of the way. But I think they play better without Julius Randle at times. Would I like him back? Of course. But
they play different, Mark. I don't think they play. Everything you just said about Julius is one of the reasons Knick fans jump on him. He's not a perfect player. He does turn the ball over. I get all of that. But 25-10, taking him out of a lineup, it's hard to make up. And you're putting too much of a burden on Jalen Brunson. It's unsustainable. It's unsustainable. Tigers now lead 6-3, as it looks like the Knicks are going to the Mets are going to continue Mets. To struggle for that first win. Carl and Queens.
Peter, Don, Michael, hey fellas.
Hey Carl,
you took the words right out of my mouth when you said we just can't have nice things. I mean, this sucks. I know the last caller kind of poo-pooed Julius. But so just a couple things. Now with the contracts, he has two more seasons. So this is the off season where you would likely extend him or plan on, his exit, right? And then OG is going to now start hearing it from, I think, he's going to start feeling the pressure now because he has a contract extension now this off season, and we gave away RJ and IQ. It would be kind of, might be a blemish if we don't re-sign him. And then Hartenstein, I think we could all agree Hartenstein is a lock. And I want to agree with Peter, the fact that with OG, and of course it's just the injuries, this season's going to be all injuries. With OG back, I still think we can make a run because the first round, the Orlandos, the Clevelands, we can take care of them, I think. Then, obviously the Milwaukee, Boston, but I still believe in this team to make a run. And also one last thing, I don't know if you guys played the Windhorse sound of him calling Jalen Brunson a foul hunter. I think that is such a garbage take. And if Jalen Brunson doesn't get All NBA this year, then
Carl, I'm surprised you feel like that. I don't think that's a negative. He's a foul hunter. He knows how to initiate contact. He's looking to get fouled. So that wasn't a negative.
It has a negative connotation, though.
I guess you could look at it as negative, but I don't think it was negative. I mean, it takes a certain sort of talent to initiate contact.
Fans seem to think it's in the category of calling somebody a flopper.
Right.
I didn't take it that way. So The Miz is going to join us in just a moment. So please stay tuned for that. The baseball season is now here, but you are still holding on to that winter weight. Why? For over a decade, NJ Diet has helped thousands of people lose a contractually guaranteed 20 to 40 plus pounds in only 40 days. That's nearly twice as fast as weight loss injections and without any of those nasty side effects. NJ Diet uses your hair and saliva along with scans to personalize natural solutions and supplements to get you to shed that fat quickly. Then NJ Diet uses your DNA info to help keep the weight off. You're fully supervised the entire time to make sure you're burning fat, not just losing water, and you even get Dr. T's personal email and phone number. Locations across New York, New Jersey, Connecticut are available from home with live online video consultations. Call 855-5NJ-DIET and lose weight the natural way, quickly and safely. Call 855-5NJ-DIET or schedule your consult today at njdiet.com. Get slimmer before the summer and without any shots. Go to njdiet.com.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Hey, buddy, hey.
Catch the show on demand wherever you want. Just subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's the Michael K. Show here on 98.7 ESPN and the Yes Network. Coming to you live from the Philadelphia Convention Center. WWE World is what they call it. And our first guest of the day has joined us, a special one, guys, a good, close, personal friend of mine.
I could tell. And a very good dresser.
And a great dresser. The Miz is with us today.
Dress for the job that you want, not the one you have.
That's
and
right.
I want the WWE Tag Team titles. So when you want something, you go after it.
The Miz is a guy who has been involved at every single level of WrestleMania that there is.
I feel so, yeah. I mean, I've been here for almost 20 years now, and every single year it just gets bigger and better. I mean, the main event for WrestleMania 40 is absolutely electric. I mean, you have The Rock.
The final boss.
That's
the final boss.
Yes, and the Tribal Chief.
And the Tribal Chief.
And then you have Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins first night, and then the second night. I mean, will Cody finish his story? Only time will tell.
If you remember, worst WrestleMania for The Miz, best WrestleMania for The Miz.
You know what's funny? I was listening to an interview with Sam Roberts.
Ugh. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean, I love Sam.
Hold on. I was to an interview with Sam Roberts, and Sam Roberts got asked that same question. What was the worst WrestleMania main event? What do you think he said?
I certainly hope The Miz wasn't involved in it.
WrestleMania 20. Someone goes, well, mine is this. And he was like, oh, what are you kidding? Did you not see WrestleMania 27? And I went, that was my main event. But by the way, I haven't seen him yet. I haven't seen him since I saw that interview. I was looking at it on my phone. I was shaking. I was so angry.
So suffice it to say that 27 is your favorite WrestleMania?
Of course.
Of course it was.
I mean, I main evented. The Rock came back, and I beat the poster child of WWE at the time, John Cena. How could it get any better for me? I walked in the WWE champion. I walked out WWE champion.
So what was his logic on why he thought it was the worst?
Sam's just a bad guy. My friend Sam Roberts.
Sam's a bad guy.
He's just a bad guy.
He's a bad person.
But he didn't say it's the worst because I'm a bad guy. He had to say something.
You know why he said it? You know why he said it? Because he knew it would. It's a buzzword.
Oh.
It's something that will get people to watch his stuff.
No, you know what?
Nobody watches it.
That's
so
right.
So he has to do those trigger things that make people watch it. He's that kind of news.
And by the way, Sam, like right. Michael Kay, eats nothing. He's the kind of you can't trust a man who eats no food,
right?
Michael, you're just as bad as Sam.
No.
I went out in Philly yesterday.
I eat food, except that I just eat certain foods.
Ask him about some regular foods. See what he thinks about them.
Philly cheesesteak,
without the cheese.
What?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me? So yesterday,
the meat, the onions.
I came here and I told WWE social team, I go, look, I want to go and find the greatest Philadelphia cheesesteak. Coming from Cleveland, Ohio, I was raised on cheesesteaks because Mr. Hero, where I worked, where my dad owned, I would flip cheesesteaks all day long to make money so I could buy my first car, 1988 Firebird. But we're not talking about that.
No.
But I literally worked summers, weekends, so I could get Philly cheese. So I went out on Wednesday. Yesterday, and I looked for the best Philly cheesesteak, and I found it.
What'd you find?
I found it.
Which one?
It's going to go on my TikTok and Instagram.
Oh, there you go.
You got to go on my Instagram. But I went to everywhere. I went Pat's, Gino's. I went to Tony Luke's.
That's how I like Tony
Luke's. I like Ishka Bibbles.
That's the chicken cheesesteak I was telling you.
It was fun. I didn't have the chicken cheesesteak. I wanted every cheesesteak to be exactly the same. Whiz wit.
How are you feeling about your Cleveland Browns?
I think that we're going to go to the Super Bowl. I think if we have steady quarterback play,
well,
Kevin Stefanski is unreal as a head coach. It's unbelievable what he was able to do last year without his key players, without his hubs. Now we got Chubb coming back. Jameis Winston, I'll take him, baby. That guy in a locker room, let's freaking go.
But it's just funny as a Cleveland.
By the way, I like when I started talking. You literally leaned forward and you like wanted to say something bad.
No, not that bad.
I know you did.
No,
Baltimore's got Derrick Henry.
No.
Are you kidding?
All I was going to say
is what Pittsburgh did with the quarterback.
You know, it's like a Jet fan saying, "All we need is consistent quarterback play."
But
you have not had a quarterback since Bernie Kosar. So
trust me, I know. You don't think I don't know that? But the thing is, what Stefanski was able to do with four quarterbacks.
He's to
the playoffs.
I will say this. That's the exact example I give Jet fans to say, well, give Robert Saleh a break. Look at all the quarterbacks he had. Well, because he doesn't make it work because he's not an offensive guy. Stefanski had four quarterbacks. He took Flacco out off the couch to the comeback player of the year.
I didn't want him to go to the playoffs.
Right.
I'm a guy that literally watched Flacco for years, and I was like, I don't want this guy on my team. And then when he was on my team, I went, I kind of like him.
Yeah.
I kind of like this Joe Flacco. He's kind of cool on your own team, right?
So, listen, you
fought The Rock in the Survivor Series in 2011. Could you ever have envisioned the turn that he's made now, like 12 years later?
This is the best Rock we've ever had. In my opinion, this is the best Rock we ever had. Full of confident bravado. I mean, he's Hollywood, but he's still The Rock. I mean, it's everything you wanted and more, and that's what's leading up to the biggest WrestleMania in history. And I got to tell you, I'm looking at Cody Rhodes. There is more pressure on that man than I have ever seen anyone have in WWE history.
Wow.
The reason being, and he put it all on himself. He put it all on himself. He said, I want to finish a story. He didn't do it last year. Now you have a whole year to have that pressure. To say, hey, I got to get to that story. I got to get to the story. And then the story wasn't even going to happen. But the fans said, we want Cody. We want to allow Cody. And now they're getting Cody in the main event. But what happens if he loses? If he loses, he's going to lose his fan base. It's just going to happen. So that is an immense amount of pressure for Cody. But I'll tell you what. He's a person and a superstar that now in this day, maybe back then, maybe 2007, 2008, 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, even 20, he wasn't ready. He is ready to be the guy in WWE. And that is why I believe, and you're going to hear a pick right here, I believe Cody Rhodes is going to finish the story at WrestleMania.
Wow.
Well, that would be... Oh,
that a reaction?
Yeah, they love... I mean, there it is. Cody wins or we riot. Yeah, I see the sign right there. Now, real quick, let's ask about the final boss for a second, though. It's very cool that you've had a lot of interactions with The Rock on TV.
He's the reason I wanted to be a WWE superstar.
And so what's your relationship like with him now? When you see him, when you bump into The Rock, what's that relationship like?
Last conversation I had was, hey, I'm using Kiehl's facial cream. What do you think? He's like, what are you doing? Let me send you a package of all
Papa
my
Tui?
Stuff. And literally we got into a conversation about his facial cleanser
his
and like all his skincare and everything. I'm big on skin. Now, you look at me right now and you look at me 10 years ago, same face.
See that
face? No wrinkles on this bad boy. You know what I mean? That's because I use my facial cleanser and clean my face very, very well. Make sure it's nice and moisturized. You, not so much.
Oh, come
but
on.
But me, I like to put some moisturizer on myself. So the last conversation we had was literally probably a 15-minute conversation about moisturizers.
But how a little – But
I can't wait to try it.
But young Mike Mizanin and that kid, the kid – I mean, Michael, I don't know if you know the story of The Miz. The Miz goes on The Real World. He gets lucky enough to get on The Real World. They accept him. And on The Real World, he basically says, I'm going to be a wrestler. This is my character. His name is The Miz. And, Michael, he made this thing up live on MTV cameras. And now he has been a multi-time everything champion. This guy's 20 years in. Mary's one of the most talented, beautiful superstars in the history of the business.
Agreed.
I mean, Michael, this is a guy who literally... He had it in his head, and he did it.
And you know what? Just looking from all the way here in New York, his skin is amazing.
I know.
Really,
you.
It's amazing.
Thank you.
That's the voice of the Yankees saying that to you. You believe that?
I love it. That's
how do you feel?
A similar story. Michael said, I want to be the voice of the Yankees.
You
became the voice of the Yankees.
You
but I have terrible
my
skin,
accolades and stuff didn't do it. Him saying my face looks amazing, like
that's
what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
How do you feel about your Guardians this year?
Man, no Tito. I'm nervous. I don't know what to expect. Last year wasn't it, but this year I feel like Cleveland, we don't spend a lot of money. We like get good people from AAA, AA. We know how to draft. We know how to get new players and develop them. And I feel like we're in that development stage right now. And I feel like, you know, this could be a playoff caliber team. I'm not sure if we can make it further than the playoffs.
Was 16 your worst sports moment?
Oh,
as a
man.
Fan?
I remember I was at Nautica, so the stadium was full, right? Oh, no, you're talking about World Series.
Yeah.
The Cubs.
Yeah.
Me and Dolph Ziggler were, or Nick Nemeth, were in a plane going to, like, Europe on a tour. Or I think it was either Saudi or something like that. One of those, it was a long flight. I had it on the radio, but it was cutting in and out. So we were listening to the game in and out. So it'd be like, and Chapman is in, and the pitch... And then you'd be like, wait, what happened? The pitch.
Oh,
what happened?
No.
What happened? And then we ended up losing. And it was a barn burner, though, I'll tell you
it
what.
Was.
It was a very fun game to listen to. It was a fun series to watch. I was very thankful to be involved, like to be in the World Series as a Cleveland person. Like the NBA Finals, you know, when we won.
Is that the greatest moment of your sports life?
What?
The Cavaliers?
So the Cavaliers, when I was shooting a movie, Marine, I believe, 5. I was shooting in Vancouver. I wanted to go so bad because I wanted to see it, and I didn't get to go. They actually said, hey, do you want to be in the parade? And I went, excuse me? It's like, yeah, you and Stipe will, or it was either me and Stipe or me and Joe Thomas will be in a car and we'll just wave, you know? And I was like, I would love to. There's nothing more left, but I'm shooting a movie right now and I can't do it. But yeah, man, anytime a Cleveland sports team is successful, the city of Cleveland thrives.
Yeah.
And so I'm always looking for it to thrive. I'm actually excited to see the new stadium. I know they put a lot of money into it. Browns have been talking about getting a dome. I want a dome. I'm for a dome. A lot of people are like, well, it's an outdoor. It's an outdoor. Blah, blah. No, I don't want to be outdoors. I want to be indoors.
Bad for your skin.
Comfortable. I want a WrestleMania to come right to Cleveland. That's what I want.
Right.
Now, do you hate LeBron James or love him?
No, love him
because he got you a championship, or hate him that he left?
I hated him when he left first because I felt like it was the wrong way to do it. But I understood when he said I needed to learn how to become a champion. And, you know, in WWE, you have to learn to become a superstar. That's why we have our performance center. That's why we have NXT. That's why we have all these developmental stages to get to where you need to be, to learn how to become a superstar. LeBron came into NBA as an 18-year-old, you know, right from high school, and he needed to learn how to become a champion, and that's exactly what he did in Miami. He came back to Cleveland, gave us the championship that we wanted and needed and yearned for. And then he said, you know what? I did that. I did what I set out to do. Now I want to go somewhere else. That's fine with me. But will Bronny come to Cleveland? and then will LeBron come back to Cleveland?
So you would love the one last swan song.
I don't know, because it's like I love the team that it is right now.
It's a good
team. I'm not sure. Last year I thought we could make it through air, but then Brunson became an all-star. Like, where did Brunson come from? I was like, wait, this guy is not an all-star.
He's not an all-star. He's like an
all-star. And now.
Superstar.
But before, he was a backup. Like, he was like six man.
Listen,
right?
we've all said when he came here, everyone was like, oh, cool, we got Jalen Brunson. Saying this on the New York airwaves, I don't think anyone believed he was a top flight superstar that he is now.
Oh, he is unbelievable and unreal. I am scared of the Knicks. In the playoffs, I think we're probably going to get like maybe the Pacers, which if they score, like they score, I mean, all they need to do is play some defense, and make them not score. I mean, Halliburton is something to deal with. I mean, he was a lot better in the beginning of the year, but now I feel like once playoff basketball happens, that's when basketball happens.
I agree.
That's when the real time starts. And I'm hoping that Cleveland Cavaliers learned from last year's playoffs, and now they're like, look, we understand what we have to go through now. We've learned. Now we're ready to go.
I've got one more question for you.
Sure.
So you met your wife when you were judging on the Diva show, right?
Yeah.
The Search?
Yeah.
And she didn't like you because she said you were an ugly American. And
that's
you didn't think she could be a real star because of her French accent. So how did that patch itself up?
You're reading Wikipedia right now.
Yeah.
So she walked in and she didn't speak any English. Zero English.
Okay.
So, and she wants to be like a WWE superstar. I'm like, well, how is she going to be able to connect with our audience? Our audience in America speaks English, right? You got to speak a little English, right? So I was like, you know what? If she can cut a promo in French and get us to understand what sometimes when you speak, some people can make you understand what they're saying and you don't understand.
You don't even need the language.
You don't need the language, right?
Right.
And I was like, well, she can do that. I was like, you know what? Cut a promo for us. And she cut a promo. And I was scared and turned on all at the same time. I was like, this is insane. And so, I mean, that's kind of where the sparks kind of happened, I guess you can say. And we didn't start dating probably like 2 years later. But from there, I was like, this is probably the most beautiful woman I've ever seen in my life.
How much hate did you get for dating Maurice? I mean, Michael, you guys also have to know. I don't want to beat this to death.
We hit it for a while. We didn't tell anyone.
Because this was not a guy who was loved and appreciated
I was hated.
He was hated. He was kicked out of the locker room. It took him a long time to become this respected veteran. When you pulled Maurice, that could not have helped your popularity.
No, not at all. Why do you think I was kicked out of the locker room, I think, at the time when we started dating. I was like, we can't tell anyone. Because if we tell people, they hate me already. They're going to really hate me if I have the most beautiful woman who is sophisticated, smart, talented, like one of the longest reigning champions in women's history. Like, I mean, she's everything, right? And now I pull her like, this guy? This guy, the guy we hate, the guy who can't stand, the guy can't even change in a locker room. He's changing in a broom closet. No way.
Miz, is she appreciative of the skin? That's what I'd like to know.
She's the one that helps me out with the skin.
Love it.
Well, all due respect to the Miz. Michael, you have to see Maurice in person. Miz does not have the good skin in the house. Okay.
No.
With all due respect.
She's got the looks, the everything. and they gave them to our daughters, which thank goodness for her, for us.
Amazing, amazing. Thank you, dude.
Thank you, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for The Miz.
You.
Go win those tag titles with R-Truth.
And really great job with everything you're doing. Your interviews are absolutely incredible. Like, I'll look at, like, Instagram and TikTok. I didn't even tell you about this before we were on air. I was like, dude, your stuff, like, your interview, I didn't realize how great of interviews you conduct.
Wow.
And then I get to see him on Instagram and TikTok. We replay.
This is the nicest thing you've ever said to me in public.
It is, because I'm being nice to you, because I can't wait to see Sam Roberts.
I love it. All right. His name is The Miz. Thank you, buddy.
Good stuff. Good stuff. You know, I'm going to tell you something, Don. I don't know if you noticed. The Miz and Peter sound alikes.
Is that right?
You think we sound alike?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, now that you say it.
Sound alikeies?
Absolutely. You don't look anything like him, Peter,
but you do
sound like him.
Certainly not physically.
Well, he could have dressed for the occasion. He knew he was going to be at WWE World, could wear something nice.
I just took my tux off.
By the way, I bet you looked at this in your closet and said, this is a nice outfit. This is perfect.
I thought it's a nice casual outfit.
I bet you picked this out, though, right?
I did. I said it's a nice casual outfit.
Yeah, but then The Miz comes in with a Tom Ford outfit.
Well,
you look like a bum.
I was wearing a tux up until I got here.
As you should. You should wear a tux for all the superstars.
You know what? I apologize, everyone.
Or a suit or something.
No respect.
No, you're right. There's no respect. The tux will be back on the next time I see you.
All right, sounds good.
Thanks, Miz. Don, tell us about Samwell.
Oh, boy.
pain, Don. Don, you got to talk about pain.
I understand. I'm in pain right now, and I have it right here in my possession. I just didn't have it in my possession at that particular second. Friends, go see Dr. Jay Shaw. He's a double board certified pain specialist. Don't let your neck, back, joint, or nerve pain slow you down from all the things that you love to do. It is time to reclaim your active lifestyle. Call our friend Dr. Jay Shaw today at Samuel Pain. Dr. Jay Shaw treats joint, neck, back, sciatica, nerve pain. Dr. Shaw is also a migraine and headache specialist. Procedures involve no cuts, scars, incisions, or downtime. Call Dr. Jay Shaw to take a non-surgical approach with precise image-guided procedures without pain medications. Enjoy life pain-free, same-day and next-day appointments available. Go to SamuelPain.com. Put an end to your pain and suffering today. Why wait any longer? Make your appointment with Dr. Jay Shaw. Go to SamuelPain.com now. Regain your active lifestyle. Enjoy all of your favorite activities pain-free. Samuel Payne now has three convenient locations in Woodbridge, Livingston, and a brand new office in Englewood to serve Bergen County. Visit SamuelPayne.com. You will wish you met Dr. Shaw sooner. Most major insurance are accepted.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
Well, that's awesome.
Looking for more access to the show?
That's right, man.
Check us out on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at TMKS ESPN.
Mets lose game one of the doubleheader, so they are now 0-5. And I know everybody on the Yankees is rooting for the Mets to do well because Carlos Mendoza is such a really respected guy, really loved by everybody in that organization, and it could be a rough year. I know it's still early, but 0-5 and hasn't exactly been losing to the best teams in baseball. Not bad teams, but it's not like, you know, they've been beaten by the Dodgers or the Braves. So it's a tough start. That's not the way you draw it up. It's game time. Brought to you by Telemar Dew Irish Whiskey. The Mets are in the midst of that doubleheader against the Tigers. Knicks try to get back on track against the Kings. That's at the Garden with coverage at 7 on 98.7. And the Islanders are in Columbus taking on the Blue Jackets with coverage at 6:30. That's on 10:50 a.m. That's game time. Brought to you by Telemar Dew Irish Whiskey. Because when it's game time, it's Tully time. Telemar Dew, the original triple distilled, triple blended, and triple cask matured Irish whiskey. Be sure to grab a Telemar Dew or try the brand new Telemar Dew Honey during tonight's action. Glasses up to enjoying Telemar Dew responsibly. Let's go back to the phones. Let's go to JJ in North Carolina. Always a hit or a miss. What's up, JJ?
You know, I consider you guys big-time movie experts, right? And so, you know, you always make references and such. And I'm about, like, 22 now, so I haven't been able to see these movies. I saw Animal House, you guys always talk about, with my girlfriend. I thought that was a great funny comedy. Like, I think, Michael, you put it on one of your best comedies.
It's one of the greatest films of all time.
Yeah, it really is.
Not just comedy.
I agree.
Imagine that poor young lady dying in a kiln accident. It's incomprehensible.
Right. Yeah, brutal. I wanted to know if you guys know this movie. I kind of stumbled upon it. We were looking for a movie to watch. It's called Sexy Beast, the Ben Kingsley vehicle. And Ray Winstone,
never
back in 2000.
Not familiar.
It's a nickname of mine, but I've never seen the film.
He's been called that, but he's never seen the movie.
Yeah. Okay, I was just wondering because, you know, Don has seen, like, every movie imaginable. So I thought it was really good. It has really good ratings on Rotten Tomatoes. You guys should check it out. It's on Hulu. For Michael, I wanted to see what you thought about how when you mentioned, like, Scott Boras is like it's not even, you can't even talk to him during, you can't negotiate with his clients during the season.
You can if the clients allow it, but he will lead you toward not.
Right. So am I wrong to think like it's just kind of like, you know, he had all of these free agents that kind of got not what they were worth and everything. So is it wrong of me to, like, you know, kind of approach maybe Soto or approach Scott, just have a conversation? Like, he's so good now. Maybe just have a conversation of negotiating. I don't know if it's going to take away Soto's focus. He's so hyper locked in.
You simply can't, as an organization, bypass the agent. I mean, you could go to Boris and go, we'd like to make an offer. I'm sure he would listen. But, I mean, when you're under 6 months away from free agency where all 30 teams could bid on you, you'd have to be a lunatic to take any kind of offer. Brian Cashman said the other day, we know that Scott brings his players to free agency. I mean, Jose Altuve, he's represented by Boris, but you know, Altuve said, I want to stay in Houston, get it done. That's not – Juan Soto is in lockstep with Scott Boris. Turned down a $450 million offer. It's not going to happen, everybody. Stop. It's going to go on until October, November.
Yeah, you choose him for a reason. That means you want to get top dollar. You believe you're one of the best players. Now, there may be a change of heart. He may fall in love with New York, fall in love with the Yankees, and say, you know what, Scott, we got to make a deal with this team. Well, then Scott's got to follow. He may recommend, no, we don't do that. But at the end of the day, let's not forget, the agent works for the player. So Soto has the power. But it sounds to me like he's in lockstep because he wants to test free agency and make the most money. Hey, look, Aaron Judge loved New York. He still tested free agency.
But they did try to sign him before.
Right. But he knew that once he hit free agency and other teams got a chance to bid, he'd get more money out of it. That's what it is. And I think he may want to stay with the Yankees, but he knows getting other teams to throw offers out there is going to raise that offer and make even more money.
And I think you brought this up earlier, Don. If the Mets have a terrible year, does that even embolden Steve Cohen more to throw $60 million a year at this guy?
Hey, you heard him say that if they don't make the playoffs, it'll be a disappointment. So you'd have a disappointed multi-billionaire. Does that sound like a formula of somebody that's going to just let Soto go? Or do you think he'll up the ante and say, I've got to try to make up for what happened last year? You'd have to say, Michael, that the tenure of Steve Cohen has been a disappointment.
Yep.
That first year signs Lindor. I like Lindor. I think he's underrated in a lot of ways, but he's clearly overpaid.
Right.
Then they win 100 games, and they don't even win the division, and they get bounced in the first round of the playoffs. Follow that up with another 500 losing season. If they follow that up with another disappointing non-playoff season, Michael, I am sure he's going to use his money to try to make up for what has been a disappointing tenure as owner. So if I'm a Yankee fan, I would think that would be a very dangerous combination, a disappointed billionaire.
All right, we will talk more about the Mets when we get back. London Jewelers is hosting their annual wedding band event from Thursday, April 4th, that's today, through Sunday, April 7th. All wedding bands are 20% off. Brand exclusions may apply. The 2 by London Wedding Band Collection has something for every style and budget. Come in or call for an appointment at any of their locations. Americana Manhasset, Wheatley Plaza, Glen Cove, East Hampton, Southampton, Westfield World Trade Center, and the Mall at Short Hills, where you can enter for a chance to win an all-inclusive 5-day, 4-night honeymoon for two at any Sandals resort. The best deals are at London Jewelers from April 4th through the 7th.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoon starting at 3 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Hey, Alexa, play 98.7 ESPN.